Well, if you got your Bibles out, go ahead and let's look at them real quickly. I'm going to pray as you open it up into the New Testament, and I guess we should start in probably Ephesians chapter 3. Father, I just thank you for the Word of God. Oh, I just thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. I thank you, Father, we can trust the Word, that it can dwell richly in our hearts, that as you, Holy Spirit, open our eyes, we have revelation, Father, that goes beyond just written what's on the page, but that spiritual life is imparted into us, spiritual revelation is imparted into us, and our inner man is being groomed, is growing day by day, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for that reality to be established inside of us, Lord, that we can continually manifest the kingdom of God in the world around us. Thank you, Jesus. Us in you, and you in us. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen. God is good, isn't he? Amen. So let's look in Ephesians chapter 3 to begin with. So I want to just kind of form an idea inside of everybody today. An idea that we probably already have, but I just want to solidify it a little stronger inside of us. Okay? So let's look in Ephesians chapter 3 at Paul's prayer. And I want to look at, we'll just read Paul's prayer real quick, 14 through 21, okay? And I want to focus in on a couple of verses just to begin with. For this reason, this is Paul praying, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Now let's look at this. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might or power through his spirit, where? In the inner man. Okay, so he's praying right now that all of us would be strengthened with God's power on the inside of us. That Christ may dwell in your hearts. How? By faith or through faith. So look at what he's just praying real quick. We want to get this in us. That God, he's praying right then that we would be quickened in our spirit man, in our inner person with the power of God. Why? That Christ may dwell in us. So I'm going to continue. Don't lose your place there. But I want to just make a point, and we're going to look at this point. Many of us say that we're born again. I'm sure everyone in this room will say, I am born again. And when we get born again, what do we say happens? We say that the Spirit of God has now entered us, right? And now the Spirit of God has made us a new creation in Christ Jesus inside of our inner man. Is that what we all believe? Okay, so is Christ dwelling in us? Absolutely, right? So why is he telling the Ephesians who are already faithful in God, saints that are faithful in God, why is he telling them this? Because they're us. They're already, let's back up real quick. Hold your finger there. Go to Ephesians 1:1. Let's look at this. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to whom? To the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Okay, so he's talking to faithful saints right now. He's sharing this with faithful believers. So he must be talking about something more than being born again. I'd like to get this in your mind so you can start seeing where we're going to go today. He's talking to people that are already completely born again. They know they're going to heaven. Okay? We're not talking to the people that are going to hell. We're talking to people that are going to heaven right now. And this is what he prays for the people who are saved and going to heaven and faithful Christians. Verse 16, that he would grant you faithful Christians who love God, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might or power through his spirit, where in your inner person, in your inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So, is it possible that you can be born again, but Christ doesn't dwell in your hearts? Is that possible? I'll say it again, that you're born again, but Christ does not dwell, has not made his home inside of you. Is that possible? It's absolutely possible. Too many people think, because I've asked Jesus to come into my life, now I'm a new creation, that's all they need to do. But he's telling faithful Christians that Christ needs to dwell in their hearts by faith. So why would it be by faith? Or through faith, if they're already born again, if they're already faithful Christians? So just pause there. And now let's go ahead and finish. Let me just finish this, and we're going to come back to the 17. So let me read 17 again. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Look, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, according to this power that Paul has prayed that we would be filled with, according to that power in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So he's bringing this point to the Ephesians in this particular part of the Bible, that there's a deeper, more manifest work of Jesus Christ that takes place in a believer than just being born again and secure their ticket to heaven, we'll say. Okay? There's something more than that. And we're going to look at what that is. I'll just tell you, and then we'll back it up with scriptures, that Christ be formed in you and in me. We're not talking about being born again and talking about going to heaven. I've said that like 9 times already. Okay? We're talking about the faithful Christians who have a ticket to heaven, if there's such a thing, that Christ be formed in them, the faithful ones, so that they would really know, be rooted and grounded in actually the same love that God loves with, the love of God. That we would be filled with the fullness of Christ. Okay? So we're made alive as a little tiny baby, born again in the Spirit, but then we need to be filled with the life of God. We need to be matured, that Christ is formed in us. And it doesn't just come naturally. Turn the page, or let's just go to Ephesians chapter 4. Some of you, it's on the same side of the book. And let's just jump right down to verse 17. Now, you know, we're talking about equipping the saints. And I'll just hit one really small verse. Verse 13, we're talking about the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of what? the fullness of Christ. Okay, so he's talking about that we're born again, we love God, we're faithful, but now we need to go another step beyond that. That is, we need to be transformed from being a womb that is carrying the seed of God as a new creation to developing and growing into the fullness of God, a perfect man or woman, a matured woman or man of God, just exactly the same as the full measure of Jesus on the earth when he walked on the earth. We've got to come to that full measure ourselves. So this is a process for real Christians to walk in, not anybody else. We're only talking to real, solid, faithful Christians need to do this. We need to be equipped and grow up that the fullness of God is manifesting through us. So let's go on and go down. And verse 17. Gosh, I just wish I could read the whole Bible to you guys. This I say, therefore, testifying of the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. This is the full Christians in the futility of their minds, or in the darkness of their imaginations, their deep thoughts, having their understanding, that's dianoia, that deep thought, your imagination, darkened, being alienated from the life of God. In other words, stop. It's possible to be a born-again Christian, faithful, and still be an alien or strangers to the real fullness of God working through your being. It's very possible to be that person as a faithful saint. So he's talking to, I'm saying this 1,000 times, I'm talking to real born again, alive in the spirit Christians. Have to grow up to manifest the full measure of God on the earth. That's what he's saying. 19, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. And I really suspect that all of us here are past that point. That's why we're faithful saints. He's not saying these guys were doing this, but he's saying that the world's mind and deep understanding has been walking in a darkness. And so they give themselves over to these things. So he's saying for us not to be walking in the futility or the darkness, the inutility, the unusableness of our minds. But instead, we need to walk in this real knowing of the Lord inside of me really well. Okay? Look. But you have not so learned Christ. So Christ needs to be formed in us, and we need to learn Christ, right? So, Pastor Robert, really, does Christ need to be formed in me if I'm born again already? Well, Paul prayed for the Galatians on that very, very thing in Galatians 4:19. I'll give Bruce a second to go there, and we'll look at it. But in Galatians 4:19, he prayed that exact thing for the Galatians who got caught up into legalism again, instead of pursuing these things by the Spirit. Okay? They got caught up into themselves doing stuff for God and thinking that as they were doing stuff for God, that there was a benefit in it, a faithfulness to Him in that. It says, but my little children, I labor again. But my little children, for whom I labor in birth again, until what? Christ is formed in you. He's talking to born again, faithful Christians. That Christ has to be formed inside of us, be nurtured and grow inside of us until we measure up or until we become in our own proof to ourselves and the world around us that I am the full measure of God like Jesus was walking on the earth. He's waiting until all of us get this revelation. And I personally am praying that it's not two or three generations away from us because we refuse to do it. And we are instead waiting to go to heaven for God to still rescue us. I'm hoping that our generation, the one that's walking on the earth now, is the one that wakes up to the true fact that we are sons of God, straight up sons of God. That's my hope. So, Galatians says he labored again for those poor Galatians that they would really know what it is to have Christ formed in them, because they got skewed and were looking to themselves as to walking in this somehow. It's not the truth. Go to 2 Corinthians with me. Second Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm going to read stuff you really know, but I want to bring home this whole idea of, and forgive me if this, the way that I say this is poor, but it's just, you know, like Paul says, you know, I got to talk to you as an earthly person because you really can't understand spiritual things yet. And I don't mean to say that to put anybody down. I'm just saying that to validate that I may be saying this poorly. Okay, but I'm going to read it first. Verse 7. We all know this, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We all know that, right? But this power that is of God is the one we are supposed to be filled with. Now, we know it's not us. We know it's God. We don't trust in the arm of flesh. We don't put any trust in our humanity. But we do absolutely put it in the Spirit of God that dwells inside of us, whose our identity is being shifted into His. We are hard-pressed. This is Paul talking about how he walks on the earth. I don't want to go into it all, but they're hard-pressed on every side, crushed and perplexed, but not in despair. They're going through really difficult times as Paul is trying to share this reality with people. It's really, he's up against this real battle to help people get this revelation that Christ in us, the hope of glory, that it's Christ formed in us, that we've learned Christ, and that we walk in Him, that we put on Christ. Am I saying this in a loving way? Do this if I'm saying this lovingly enough. Okay, good. Praise God. So we need to grow up in this. So I'm not going to hit all the things because it seems like it's very depressing. But the reason he's going through all these battles is he's telling people that don't know this to get this revelation. So he goes on, and I'm going to go, verse 12, so then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our what? Outward man is perishing. So even though he's facing battles and afflictions and problems and terrible situations, and his outward man is perishing, he's having such difficulty, he's really rejoiced, because what does he say? Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Now, I want to put to you that the inward man is not automatically renewed just because he's inside of you day by day. The inward man, Christ being built inside of us till we come to the full measure of the stature of God, is something that we have to go after. We have to deliberately grow up. We have to place our hands in God. Now, let me say this. It's not through works. It's not through exerting great effort in your flesh. It's through the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's how we're transformed. We're talking about Jesus Christ being formed in you. I'm trying to lay a big foundation before I go to the next level here. So Christ has to be formed in us. We learn him. We grow up in him to the perfect man, the full measure, the stature of God, by being strengthened by the Spirit of God, by the dunamis of God inside of us. And then what we do is we resign ourselves, we enter the rest, that it's Christ bringing this to pass. So the more Christ that's in us, the more he takes more ground in us. The more we relinquish the world and our members in the world and the things of the world, the more we let go of that stuff, get rid of it out of us, the more that Christ has space to fill. He has more of my attention, more of my identity, more of my time, more of my focus, more of who I say I am is released to him. Are you with me? These are what mature, faithful Christians do. They grow in these things. So let me go on, because I want to teach you and help you in growing. For our inward man is being renewed day by day. 17. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So let me just pause and talk about that for just a second. So in other words, it's like pride and humility. We're teaching on that on Wednesday nights. The more you see yourself in pride, which I still get to see quite a bit of it in me, I'm sorry to say. Boy, it's so easy to be deceived when you stand all by yourself alone. You know that? When it's just me in a room all by myself, I'm the expressed image of God, hallelujah, in my mind. As soon as I get around other people, I realize that may not exactly be a true assessment of myself. Amen? So we need to be around each other so that we can start seeing these things as we lay down our lives, as we release these things of the world, as we go through the drama of life and lay down this pride in humility, faithfulness, and love, Christ gets more ground inside of me. As I relinquish earthly humanity, let me say this, human creation, what I've learned of myself by the world's standards and by my past flesh family's standards, instead of by heaven's standards and my spirit father God's standards. As I'm letting go of the earthly and I'm taking effect of the heavenly, I start releasing the earthly identity and desires and passions and shortcomings and start taking on the godly, heavenly attributes, then Christ is being formed in me more and more and more until I can eventually get to where Paul was at in Galatians 2, verse 20, where he says that he has been crucified in Christ. So Christ has been so formed in him that he himself has been crucified in Christ. He really identifies not only in his intellect, but in his inner man, that when Christ died on the cross, he died on the cross also. And therefore, he slowly but surely, through all the workings that he's had to go through and all these troubles, he's released his human created identity and take more and more of Christ's identity. And he says, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. So it's a work that loving, faithful Christians walk out. Are you with me? So let's look at this for a minute. So it says in verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, all the troubles and tribulations and outward things that happen to us, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, these outward tribulations and problems that we go through, are temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So you and I have come to the realization as faithful Christians who love God and others. We've come to this revelation that the world around us and all of what it calls important is just temporary. It's not going to be eternal. But as we, as Christ is being formed in us and we're being transformed, as Ephesians 3, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord, we are identifying with eternal, everlasting life for what's valuable. And we focus in on those things, that's what our life is like, so that we can go to this next part of the scripture, which is in verse 5. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavenlies. We have this reality working inside of us 24/7. For in this we groan earnestly. This is that tribulation from transitioning from the seen to the unseen, from the weight of glory being formed inside of us. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. So if indeed having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, give up this flesh temple, but further clothed, look, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. And then he's given us this by giving us the Spirit of God inside of us. So Paul is talking about this transition that we walk through, which is from being earthly minded, earthly connected as our value of who we are, and we let those things go, and we identify with who Christ is in me, that he's being formed inside of me. But it's not one-sided, guys. It is not at all one-sided. It's two-sided. And the revelation has to come on both sides being made one. So, like any coin, you don't only look at heads. You pull a coin out, you got heads and tails of the same coin. So there is a recipient, Anyway, Lord, you just got to make it clear to me. But anyway, so here's the other side of that coin. Christ needs to be formed in you and I to the full mature level of sons and daughters of God. But there's two sides to this. As we are giving up our earthly identity that Christ is being formed in us, where is our mind set? On things above, in Colossians 3, it says that he moved us into the heavenlies. He moved us into Christ Jesus on the throne of God with God. We're seated there in heavenly places. So Colossians says we set our mind on those things where we are. Let's go to Colossians 3. This is so exciting. God is so really good to us. I know I use these verses a lot, but I guarantee you no one's got the full revelation out of these verses yet. So Colossians chapter 3. Here it is, verse 1 through 4, and then also 10. If then you were raised with Christ, which you were, Paul had that revelation of being raised with Christ. You too. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. So we put our affections on the things that are above. Our heart's desire is for the heavenly things. That's where our focus is at and our heart's desire is. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. So as we put our identity there and we put our focus on who we are in the heavenly, the inner man. Who am I in my inner man? Who's the spirit man? The eternal man in me. As I put my identity in that eternal person that's being built up day by day, because I am putting my attention there, my prayers are there, my focus is on Christ and Christ alone. And as it's doing that, I'm being built up day by day as I'm setting my attention on things above, which is my inner man who's in the heavenly realm, right? Seated in Christ Jesus. Because look what he says. He says, for you died. You died. You died. You died. You died. You died. We need that revelation. I died, and Christ is my life. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's the only life that God's talking about, the one that's hidden with Christ in him. That's why it's a little bit of a battle to renounce the hidden things of shame, to give up these things that have trapped us into the flesh, worrying, anger, malice, which it goes on to say if you keep reading here. He says we need to put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of our mouths. Don't lie to one another. Why verse 10? And have put on the new man. Well, verse 9. Do not lie to one another since you have put off the old man with his deed because you're dead. And having put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So in other words, faithful, loving Christians who love God and are going to live forever in the presence of God in heaven are to really grow up in God, that I am seated in heavenly places, that my mind is on these things, my affections are on these things, that all my attention is on this heavenly person that I now am. Because my other man's dead, I don't put any attention on him. My attention is on God, and I'm being renewed day by day, built up on my inner man. Why? Because I will be raised with Christ. So this heavenly man who is Christ being formed in me is the very man that is going to raise me up, that the day star is going to rise in my heart, that I'm going to be transformed in a twinkling of an eye by this inner person that's in me. That's how I'm transformed. And so it's vitally important that we walk in a sanctification, in a holy life. That's why God corrects us for holiness, so that we can be the perfect man, walking in the full measure of the stature of God, being filled with all the fullness of God, walking in love. This is the new creation he goes on to talk about in verse 17 of chapter 5. That because this is all true and we're doing this, this is the way we live, then old things have passed away. And everything's made new because my inner person is being strengthened by God. Christ is being formed in me. And the very light of God is transforming me by the glory of God himself, increasing inside of me, which is going to be the very life that raises me from the dead. And since I know this is true, I lay down every hindrance and every weight and every sin that so easily ensnares me, and that I purify myself, it talks about in 1 John chapter 3, that I purify myself from all these things, because I know that when he appears, I will what? Appear with him in glory. And look what it says here in verse 3, you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Look, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So it's not like you're swallowed up and your identity is totally lost. Your identity is in Christ, seated at the right hand of God. And the more that Christ that's seated at the right hand of God is being formed inside of you, you're in him, seated there. And as you're growing in the love of God, the power of God, and the glory of God, the revelation of Jesus Christ, as you're growing in it, so that when he appears, you'll appear with him in glory. Because you don't lose yourself, because he's in you and you're in him. You lose your human creation. And you take on an eternal glory, which is your clothing. The Bible says in Revelations that we're supposed to seek the eye salve so that we can see in the spiritual realm. We need to desire to be clothed, because many will be found naked because they don't know how to put on the glory of God in their life. We're talking about faithful, born again, God-loving Christians who have to grow to the full measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. This is each one of ours wonderful, wonderful gift from God, that we get to walk in these things. Isn't this exciting stuff? It is really exciting because it's who we really are. But I'll tell you, the devil is awesome at his job. He's very good. He's a very good boss. Now he's completely evil, perverted, twisted, and defiled. But he's diligent. He operates consistently, without relentlessly, without stopping. And his job is to confuse you, steal from you, harm you, cause things to fall apart around you, and to make life miserable. But see, he can only do it in your fleshly old man. It's the only way he can affect you. So if you give up that guy and you relocate your housing from this is me to I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, who's being formed inside of this flesh, and I'm the inner person inside of this. This is just going to burn. This is an earthly tent. I have a heavenly habitation. And this is not the fullness of who I am. This is going to be it's a taxi cab. It's transporting me from one destination to another. And it will be, if I happen to be on the earth in the final time when the trumpet is blown, then this will be transformed in a twinkling and rye, because it will be swallowed up by the life of God. If I happen to be on the earth at the time when that's happening. But I want to let you guys know, God's never changed. Anything he's done for one person, he can do for another person. So everything that anyone has walked in, someone else can walk in. Let me back up real quick in these last few minutes. So we've read about seeking those things, that Christ is being formed in us. Have I talked to you about being transformed? Yes, I did. Ephesians, except 2 Corinthians 3:18. So then, Christ being formed in us, that word is morpho, which is the same as to form, to create what didn't exist, a brand new thing. But in our minds, we got to be transformed. In other words, he took one thing and is making it something else. So we're talking about two things. One, us being changed from one image of glory to another image of glory. And the other one is a brand new thing being formed in us, which is Christ in us. A brand new thing's being formed in us. He himself. And as that's taking place, we're being filled with the fullness of God. And then whatever we can ask or think can be done through the power of God that's working in me. So we don't look at the things that are not seen, or the things that are seen, but things that are not seen. So as we pray, We go into our closet, we close our door, and our inner man, our invisible person, comes before our invisible Father. And our heavenly man, our inner man, connects with our heavenly Father, and our dianoia, our deep thoughts, our imaginations, is the place where we meet him at in our spirits. Let me tell you what that is real quickly. 1 Peter says, let's go with 1 Peter real quick, just for a minute. I don't want to take too long. We've only got a few more minutes of time. 1 Peter, which is after Hebrews, James, and then Peter. 1 Peter, well, 2 Peter is talking about the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. That's what I'm talking about, the glory of God coming in us. But 1 Peter, look at this, verse 13, 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. I've taught on this before, and you might want to go back and look at the old teachings on this called the Revelation of Jesus Christ. But in verse 13, he says this, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you, what? At the revelation of Jesus Christ. At Jesus Christ being revealed in you. Some people say, as he appears in the heavens and comes, I'm not going to go there. But as you get the revelation of Jesus Christ, like Paul did, he said he was transformed by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So as you get the revelation of Jesus Christ, by what? Girding up the loins of your mind. The loins of your mind is the procreative place where things are birthed. That means that in our imaginations or our deep thoughts of our inner man, in our hearts, the deep stuff is our imaginations. And that's where we meet our Heavenly Father in our prayer chamber when we close the door, in the Spirit. And as that identity of Christ is being formed in us and who we are in Christ, that's where we meet him. And the wonderful thing about our imaginations or our deep thoughts is this. This is what I love so much. It's the procreating place. It's where things come to life, right? So when you procreate, what's the pro is before, and then what? Create. So in other words, before you create it, you see it there. So that's the place of where it comes into being, is in the deep inner man or inner woman, but it's actually an inner man, and you're a son of God, and I'm a bride of Christ, just like you are. So let's not worry about the gender thing, okay? It's not an issue in heaven. So it's about spirit and alive. So in this place, which is, this is what I love about our imagination or our dianoia, the deep things, is that in this place, it's where creation takes place. It's where life starts getting birthed. And in this place, you can deliberately put ideas and thoughts formed in there, and you have the power to create in that invisible place. Like, how many of you ever started a garden? Don't you think about where I'm going to plant things? Or if you build a house, don't you think about how you want your rooms? Where does it create? It starts on the inside of you, in that room that God placed inside of you. And that room has no walls, no bounds, no dimensions. It's as big and as alive and as fruitful as you allow it to be. There's no end to it. It's the width, the length, the height, and the breadth is unlimited in that place of incubation where things are created. There's no limit there. You can create from anywhere. You're the doorway of eternity. Eternity dwells in your hearts. But the thing is, God creates there too. And so many, we're waiting for God to be the one that initiates to put something in us to motivate us to do something, when he made it a place where both we and he joined together. Right? So you've heard of people using their imaginations, right? We say things like this. Boy, he kind of has an overactive imagination, doesn't he? So what are we saying when we say that? He has an overactive imagination. He considers these things more real, and these ideas that he's coming up with are kind of out there further than where I'm at right now. So his is kind of overactive. And then we say they have an imagination. Just use your imagination. What do you want me to do? I don't know. Just use your imagination. Don't we say that? What are we saying when they say, when we see somebody that's all numbers, all bean counter mentality? Man, he's got no imagination at all. You know, what are we saying when we say that about people? They have no imagination. Use your imagination. You have an overactive imagination. That's the place of creativity, isn't it? Isn't that what we're saying? That a person that has no imagination, they're blasé. They aren't using their creativity at all. Because in your imagination is where creative things grow. Your inner person, your communion with God, the life of the Spirit, the things you're believing God for, your inner man, your eternal being, where Christ is being formed in you, that's the incubator of what's being created. That's why when we go into prayer, that's what we're doing when we shut our door. We're cutting off all other stimulus so that this realm of our imagination, our deep thoughts, our invisible person, we can tune in, focus in on that and meet God there. And as we pray there, we talk to God there, then it manifests openly in the natural realm. But we create it there. We come to agreement there. God shows us there. God tells us there. That's where God speaks to us. And when we hear him, we know we have what he says, don't we? That's what the prayers say. That when we come to him and we know he's heard us, then we'll have it, right? Or when we're there and we're speaking out of that deep place of our imagination and who we are on the inner man, and we tell that mountain to move, then as long as there's no conflict in here, it'll move. But if we are not only here, but also stuck here, it won't move. Because we're stuck in our natural humanity. But we're not natural humanity. We're eternal sons of God with the same gifts that Jesus had, we have. So we have to groom this. He's talking to faithful, God-fearing, if you will, Christians, that we have to grow up in who we really are in Christ. So we have to exercise these things. Take authority over your wandering imagination, because it creates. It's where you form these things. So that's why we gird our minds, we take authority over our runaway minds, and we deliberately focus in on God, and we spend our time with Christ. He said, if you abide in me, and my rhema abides in you, if you come to the place in your inner being, in your inner heavenly hidden man, and fellowship with me there, I'm there and you're there, that we will create whatever you ask in that place. Are you with me? So that's, we all have room to grow in these things. So as we do that, healing, miracles, gifts of the Holy Spirit, they're a lot easier to come by. They're a lot easier to believe in because we're focused on him and who we are with him. Amen? Amen. I love you guys. I hope you got something good out of this. I really enjoyed sharing it. So, Father, I thank you for everyone who had ears to hear. Father, for everyone's hearts, Father, to be good ground, to receive this word and have a harvest of 30, 60, and 100-fold, Lord Jesus. Father, it's our desire to glorify you in all that we do, to grow up in our inner man, to manifest the things of the kingdom, that you would be so formed in us, so filled in us, that we walk in the full stature of the measure of the Son of God, a perfect man, that the fullness of God dwells in us, so that whatever we ask or think, Lord, whatever it is, Father, it'll be done by the power that works in us. I thank you for this, that, Father, that we're moving from natural mindedness to heavenly mindedness in relationship with you in eternity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.